perseverance is supplication for all saints. Friends, we're in a serious battle, and we're battling an enemy that must be taken seriously. An application of seriousness. And then we see an application of victory. You know, when you study through the book of Revelation, there's some bad things in there. There's some terrible seals of judgment that are open. There's a lot of blood. There's a lot of gore. There's a lot of loss of life. But in the end, we're the victors. The saints are the victors through Jesus Christ our Lord. I've included some quotes on your handout. Martin Luther, speaking of this victory and the victory we have in Christ, he said, and I quote, "Of whom shall I be afraid? One with God is a majority." Spurgeon said it was the mighty power, the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, by which Jesus overcame the world. And that same quiet power, if it dwell in us, will make us win the same victory by faith. John Calvin said, however much the devil and wicked men may rage, however much they boil with their own unrestrained anger, there is no doubt that God checks and curbs their madness with a hidden bridle. J.I. Packer says, to know that nothing happens in God's world apart from God's will may frighten the godless, but it stabilized the saints. Turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 8. What a blessed chapter that this is. Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul said this himself, and I love this passage, Romans 8, beginning in verse 28. What a wonderful and glorious passage this is. Romans 8, 28. Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Aren't you thankful for that calling? And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Friends, we're victorious in Christ. We must never forget that. We must never grow cold in thinking of the victory we have through Him, who God imputed His righteousness into our account, and He took our sin upon Himself. The greatest transaction ever made. So I ask, does God look upon you with love? Or does God look upon you with wrath? You see, the only way that God looks upon someone with love is if He sees the blood of His Son covering our sins. I'm saying that if you're not saved, God doesn't look upon you with love. He looks upon you with wrath. 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 So you're not a victor. You're heading for the same place that the devil and his demons are going. The place where the fire cannot be quenched. The place where the worm dieth not. The place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Eternal punishment, day and night, forever and ever. What does God require? He requires you to come to Christ by submitting to the command of the gospel, by believing in His Son, that His Son died on the cross, taking your sins upon Himself, that He was buried in that tomb, and that He was resurrected that third day. We must believe that He did those things. We must repent of our sins, repent of everything that we are, and turn unto Christ and His sacrifice for us. Will you come to Christ? Will you submit to the command of the gospel? And if you have done that, do you consider yourselves a victor in Christ? We shouldn't walk around downtrodden and walk around with no energy. We have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. We are victors in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Bow with me as we pray. Father, we are humbled by the thought that You, the God of the universe, perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, perfectly just, would send Your innocent Son to die on our behalf. Father, we are so grateful that You chose us. We are so thankful that You gave us the ability to cry out to You to save our souls. We are so thankful for the promises in Your Word that tell us, Father, those that call upon Your name, they will be saved. And Lord, we thank You for salvation. We thank You for passages like we've looked at tonight that remind us of our enemy's expected end. And Father, I pray that we would use this as fuel to our fire, that we would evangelize those around us, that we would minister to the saints. Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful with our dying breath. Lord, have Your way with this time of invitation. I pray that You would work in the hearts of Your people. I pray that You would work in the heart of anybody who is here tonight who is not a true Christian. Lord, we love You, and it's in Your great Son's name we pray. Amen.